once you, as the guest, initiate the goodbye sequence,
right,
you have 45 seconds to get out of my house.
That little.
That's all you. Well, how much do you need?
I don't know. I gotta get my shoes on. Who knows where I put my jacket?
Okay, but if you're in the middle of that, that's fine. But if you start in with the "I gotta go," and then 45 minutes later you're still on the couch, I'm turning the hose on you.
Okay.
In fact, I even when I can just do the French exit. Just okay. Get up and go. Don't say a word.
Where'd Al go?
Love it. I love the French exit is the greatest move of all time.
I didn't know it was called that.
Yeah, it's actually for bad reasons apparently, but not okay. Bad reasons, but
you're gonna bleep that?
Yeah, well, we're not using this part now. Are we using this part?
I thought we could.
Oh, except for the cursing?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a clean show, man.
Oh, sorry.
Well, maybe we can just bleep out the words that were bad.
Sure.
All right, well, we got her done then. Let's roll.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 147 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in tubing in Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
What is going on, Adam?
I don't know. Same old, same old?
Great.
Yeah. Whatever I said last week, it applies also this week.
Oh, so you're a lot of variety in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. How about you?
You know, same thing. So we got the weather is back. We got summer evidently.
Mm.
Indian summer is that what if that's what it's called?
How will you figure out a way to complain about it?
I can't. I can't do it.
Great.
Cannot complain about it. I love it.
We've got Fogville over here for the last.
I've heard the last couple of weeks have been crazy fog.
Lots and lots of fog. Sometimes it burns off. Sometimes it burns off, but it hasn't lately.
But like every day?
The fog?
Yeah.
Every day this week?
Or the last... I've heard people talking about it the last couple, 2-3 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm. We did have a stretch of nice stuff, but no, lately it's just been very foggy.
Huh.
So there.
All right.
Go figure.
Like some sort of Alfred Hitchcock. I meant to say Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, just like
Hound.
That.
Hound of the Baskervilles.
Less mysteries to solve over here, though. My neck of the woods.
Why the fog? That's the mystery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sherlock Schwartz and the why the fog. Amazon. If you're going to buy anti-fog stuff,
right?
Which is what I'd look on Amazon first.
Or a home fogging system if you want to experience it.
It's one of those things I want to buy. I want to buy a fog machine.
Oh, I had a buddy in high school that had one, and it was the awesomest thing to bring out at a party.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Bring out the fog machine.
Great. Well, yeah. Doesn't it get all in your clothes, though?
No, I pretty much didn't have any real smell or anything. I don't know what actually, is it dried ice? Like, what creates the fog?
Oh, I don't know. Back in when you were in college, when the safety standards were lax, I'm sure it was lead.
Everything was lead.
Yeah, it's a lead-mercury mix that we do.
Yeah.
And so, party's good. Everyone's crazy, though. Yeah, and their teeth all fell out.
Right.
So, but it was foggy. No one could see. It was awesome. I want it for photo stuff. Like, it's great for taking photos. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I...
A little fog machine.
I agree. I had every intention this morning of actually, because it was foggy and I was out early in the morning with the kids, took them for breakfast and it was super foggy. And I said, hey, let's take a cool kind of foggy picture. And when we finished breakfast, jetted home to get the camera, came back and the fog had lifted just enough to completely undo any plans of what I wanted to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Zing.
So there you go.
Great.
So I didn't take any great photos this week, if you were going to ask.
I wasn't going to ask. I already figured you didn't.
Or if you were going to ask if I took any interesting, everything's going to be just a hard no.
A hard no. Well, what I was going to say, if you are going to buy anything on Amazon, click through our site and help us out. You know what I did?
No.
You didn't do that either?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Oh boy, this is definitely not a yes and day. Tell you
no,
that.
No. You know what? I am super committed to being a yes and this week.
Awesome. Starting now.
Right now.
Did you watch The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown yet?
Yes.
This year. Did you really, or is this
no,
a lie?
No, I was just lying. I was trying to help you.
You're going to watch it with the kids, right?
Probably not.
No. Doesn't hold up, does it?
No, I think we watched a couple years back, and there was, I was very disappointed.
Yeah. I remember liking it as a kid, but I think the option was that or go stare at the back porch. And so,
yeah.
I think I'll go with Great Pumpkin.
Yeah, there's all sorts of, new Halloween specials and stuff that come out year after year. So I think we've got a couple on the PVR.
That's the thing is, though, I watched it here with my kid, and she's two. And partway through, she just looked at me and said, "Really, Daddy?" And I was like, "Come on, Charles Schulz, man. He's a legend." Yeah. Turn this off.
Yeah.
And but the thing about it is, the part that I think was weird was the fact that it was on demand. Like, we had it. You can watch it in May if you want.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that when you're kids.
No. No, you
now, can't. I'm not the first person to point this out that, when you had three channels and no channel changer, that life was the greatest of all time.
Right.
But there was something special about it. Oh, my God. At school the next day, did you see The Great Pumpkin? Oh, it was last night. I missed it. Oh, my God. A whole other year I have to wait.
Yeah.
That was why it was good.
I agree. And it was, awesome to hold it over that kid that didn't get to see it.
Oh, that kid was the worst. Yeah, that kid, guess who got dogpiled that day? Like, yeah, we're gonna throw you in the mud and dogpile you just to pile it on.
Right.
Yeah. That's absolutely. Did you buy that waterproof camera yet?
I did. I got one. I didn't get one for each kid. I just got it for Sarah because she's
your favorite.
Yeah. No, she just shows way more interest. And I think if Jack is somehow disappointed that he doesn't get one, eventually he'll get one. But I do not think he will be disappointed, and we'll get him something else.
Right. So here's a nice shiny camera, Sarah. And Jack, here's a bag of rocks.
You know what? I think he probably would be pretty happy with that exchange. Probably throw rocks at Sarah's camera.
Yeah, I think that's the move I'd go with. So did you get the camera out yet? Have you snapped any photos?
No, I didn't take any pictures. It's just kind of been put away, and we'll leave it for Christmas. But I did, at the store, they had the ability to, they handed me one with fully batteries, and I kind of tinkered around with it. And it was a super, super easy control system and nice big LCD. So I think the quality of the pictures, as far as the reviews I've read, are very good. The video, you got 720p video. I'm pretty sure she's going to be over the moon with what she's going to get from it. It just all compared to what she's had previously.
Okay. Because I'm thinking about
$100. It was $100. It was on sale for $100.
I'm not even considering it. There's a real good chance I'm going to get one. Especially after this week. My wife took the kid to go meet some friends and do some pumpkin carving.
Yeah.
You've heard of it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go. I had to work, which that's kind of the life of a dad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave her the camera, and I gave her my 40D with the 30mm lens, because that's what she wanted. And I said, okay. I had no clue what was going to happen. So what I did was, here's my move. You have the custom settings on there on the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I dialed two in. Now my wife, she understands how photography works. Like, she understands ISO and all that, but she gets confused like a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And she has, to be fair, she has a lot of other stuff to deal with in her daily life that's not to do with photos.
Right.
Like looking after the kid and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I decide, here's what I'm going to do. I don't know if they're inside or outside. I'm going to create two custom functions.
Yeah.
Because it's in the daytime, so it's outside in the day or inside in the day. Two custom functions, one for inside, one for outside, and just dial them in. Boom. I tell her, okay, custom function one, that's inside. Number two is outside.
Right.
I take duct tape, put it on the flash, like the pop-up flash of the camera. Take a Sharpie, like a silver pen, and write that down. C1 in, C2 out.
Okay. Boom. Yeah.
Off the races. Get back, all her shots outside are at 1/8,000th of a second and overexposed.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, this stings a little bit. This stings. They're all fine. I managed to save the pictures that needed to be saved. They're saved. They're all snapshots. It's fine. But I was like, and what she said was, well, I thought you would set it to the outside setting knowing that we'd be outside. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So point is, I'm going to buy that waterproof camera, that one that you got for your 7-year-old, and hand that to my wife.
And also you can hand it to your soon to be 3-year-old.
Yeah, I think she'll be able to handle the 40D if I give her the custom settings.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
She'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll get her to show my wife how to do it. On the plus side, my wife doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah. So we're fine.
I'm talking quiet now so she can't hear me in the other room. You know what I did order?
What?
Though? I ordered another ProMist filter.
Great. Get 10 of them on there. Stack them up.
No. I have a quarter black, and I ordered a 1/8 Pro Mist because I like the quarter black, but sometimes I want it a little bit dialed down.
Okay.
And I decided that's it. I'm getting the 1/8. I had to order some other stuff that's kind of boring microphone stuff, and mm-hmm. So I decided, hey, I'll throw this in there while I'm getting stuff shipped. And that's it. Got the 1/8 Pro Mist. And it's the 58 mil wind on. The one I have is the 72, and so I have to use step-up rings.
Right.
Which means I can't use the lens hood, and it's just kind of a hassle.
So you bought the 58 mil, which will do for your 50 millimeter 1.4 and the 85 millimeter 1.8.
Correct.
Oh, and what brand did you buy?
Tiffin.
That's the cheap brand.
Nope.
I'm just throwing out, and I'm pretty sure that's on the cheaper end of the spectrum.
I have no clue. I've always had success with Tiffin.
Okay, they are one of the cheaper brands.
I'm gonna Google that now.
Yeah, they are. Because I'm pretty confident in saying that.
You're pretty confident. Okay, what would be the expensive Pro Mist? Who makes the expensive Pro Mist?
No, I just mean in general, in terms of filters, Tiffin is at the cheap end of the spectrum.
Okay,
just as a brand.
I've heard that about other brands, but Tiffin filters. I'm just going to Google this and cheap and see. Is it cheap? Are Tiffin filters cheap?
Yeah.
that's what I'm gonna...
You know, this is the best part of podcasting is we can ask live questions to Google.
Yeah. Are they cheap? And they said, nope, they're good.
super good.
Yeah. I have some Tiffin filters and I like them, so I have no clue.
That's right. You know what? There's probably a Wikipedia page dedicated to telling you the expense spectrum of filters.
I'm actually writing that right now myself while I podcast. That's how I do it.
Okay.
Anyway, so I got one of those, and I ordered one of your soft boxes.
I ordered you
to order it.
You ordered me to order it. That's right.
Yes.
Or you ordered me to have my wife order it.
Right, and then you pick it up.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So in a roundabout way, you ordered it.
Yeah. But who started the ordering process? Me. It wasn't like you ordered me to order it.
It's the best delivery system ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when I forget my wallet when I pick it up. Yeah. Like, oh, can I get you next Tuesday? Awesome.
Yeah.
That'll be the greatest.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to receiving that.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick a big knife through the side of it. Claim that it was a shipping malfunction.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Hey, tough break. What are you gonna do? All right, see ya. or if you happen to tip yours over and break it before
just swaparoo.
Yours is all worn out, and I don't know who wrote Jack is the best on it in felt pen. Yeah, with the backwards J.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably came from the factory, man.
Yeah, just the way they make them.
Yeah, that's how you know it's yours. It's custom. Custom. So since you didn't shoot anything interesting, and I shot some interesting stuff, but the point of my interesting stuff, I made a mark on my section.
Okay.
I love my 5D, the classic one.
Okay.
It is quietly becoming my favorite camera.
Really? Not over the Mark II.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You're just going to basically drive your car over the back of that one?
No. No, okay. No. I do love the Mark II, and for a bunch of reasons, but the images I'm getting from the 5D are just they are outstanding. Like I'm compare, we'll compare them in this week's photo challenge, because the one I took was with the 5D Classic, and I took another one with the Mark II.
Okay.
And I included it just so we could compare it, and also because the guy was nice. But the 5D, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. It's there's a certain texture to the images that you get. It's a 12 megapixel camera versus 21. I don't know if that's why.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just the other ones are too sharp. But I find with the Pro Mist filter on the 1.4 or the 85 mil lens with the 5D Mark I Classic, the images are just outstanding. I love them.
Okay. So
my recommendation is if you come across a Classic and it's in decent shape and they're not very much money, relatively speaking. I don't know how much they go for.
I want to say about between $600 and $800.
I bet you could probably get one for under $500 now if you sort of, you know, twist arms, maybe. I don't know. But you're probably right. It's probably
everybody overvalues all their stuff. So I'm just looking at it in terms of what I've seen on Craigslist.
Oh, I did see one on Craigslist the other day. Someone who was selling their 40D and wanted like $600, and they said, "I see it for $800 off." And you're like, no, you don't.
Yeah,
no one's paying $800 for a 40D body only.
Yeah, that's someone who just doesn't know any of the value of their equipment. But I want to say the 5Ds again. This is in Vancouver, so who knows what it is other places. But yeah, I would say in that range, $500 would be extremely cheap. If you found a 5D for $500,
based on the images that I'm getting, I think $600 would be cheap. Now, to be fair, I don't love shooting with the camera; like it's clunky. Mm-hmm. Getting to the image is not as easy as the Mark II, and beyond. Like they've really fine tuned it, the whole image taking process. The menus are a pain. The way the camera's laid out is just not quite as intuitive, and they change some things around, like where the ISO is different on the Mark II. They've updated it to a better spot, so it's easier to change quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different dial, so I'm used to that. I know how I can use my 5D Mark II, you know, pretty much blind and get it dialed into how I want it just by touch. I can't do that with the 5D because I have all the muscle memories for the Mark II.
Okay.
But besides that, besides the clunky part and the bad LCD screen and all the stuff that's wrong with it, the images are just fantastic. So I highly recommend checking one out. If you come across one that's you know, a decent price and decent shape, definitely keep it in mind.
So maybe on Amazon.
Amazon? Yeah, I don't know that they handle that. Amazon and get a time machine while you're there.
Yeah.
To go back and get it, but
do they not sell a bunch of used stuff on Amazon? You don't think that exists out there?
I don't know. I'm surely not going to Google it twice in one show, though.
Yeah, maybe not. That's pushing it.
Yeah, that's a little bit much. So, photo challenge this week.
Okay, go for it.
Do you have more to add about other stuff?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I wasn't sure. That was just a clunky segue.
Was that in the show notes?
What?
The segue.
Yeah. I wrote that down. Make it clunky. Try to make it a non sequitur.
Okay.
That's my plan.
What was the photo challenge? Remind me what the photo challenge is, because I kind of had a little bit of trouble remembering exactly, and I don't, as a rule, don't re-listen to podcasts.
Right. Except for last week's cover photo was one of yours.
Right.
And it was, we're taking pictures of people in the fall.
And that was what our photo challenge was?
Yes.
For this week was a fall photo.
It was everything we talked about last week.
But was it supposed to be a family photo? I put a couple in and I wasn't sure. Was it family? Was it just a fall photo? What was it supposed to be?
It was a fall photo with a focus on people.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So with that in mind, do you want to pick one of your four that you submitted?
Sure. I will do focus on people. I'm going to pick, I know it's probably not exactly the most fallish photo, but I'm going to pick I'm going to pick the no, A, Adam A.
You take your time on this.
Adam A. Adam A.
Okay. Adam A. That's the probably the second one I would pick. I would go with the last one, but okay,
I was looking at that because it's more fall. The last one is more fall.
Last one is more fall, but yeah. This one is very good. I like this one.
I just like the photo, yeah.
Yeah, and the leaf in her hair. So we'll go. I'm gonna post A and D for you so that people can see that you actually did the challenge.
Okay, yeah, because the A isn't exactly a challenge, but that's why I was trying to think of how can I kind of crowbar this one in there.
Let's spend 12 more minutes explaining this. Here's like we're looking at the girl in Steveston Go.
Yeah, so I took this photo. This is a girl of some friends of ours, and they asked if I would take a family photo, and I took a couple of family photos, and I took a couple of individuals of their kids, and this is at one of my favorite spots. It's shown up in several photos in the past. This is Gary Point Park, and right where kind of all the logs and meets the water, and then there's a monument that you can kind of see in the back sort of sticking straight up, and I included that in the photo because for them, if they're going to put a photo on their wall, it could be anywhere until you see that monument. So I didn't want it to be super prominent, but I also wanted it to be recognizable, so you know, everyone would know who saw this photo in their house that, oh, this was taken just right down in Steveston. Now, they might know that anyways, but it's now unmistakable. With
if
the
you
monument.
Haven't been to Steveston, I don't think... Now, isn't it like a giant sewing needle?
Kind of, yeah.
It's like four fishing nets.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's a monument to lost fishermen.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, you know,
assuming that the bulk of our listeners have not been to Steveston.
Right. But again, and we didn't need the whole description because I'm not sure everybody cares, but I did want to include that monument. That's the point. And so this photo was simply, stand over here, and there's, you know, her parents and her brother were kind of moving around. And so she's just looking off there. And I just wanted a photo where, you know, it wasn't posed. It just kind of looks candid and posed at the same time. So she's all standing to pose for a picture, but she's looking off. And I lit this with a softbox, but in high speed sync, because I just wanted the softbox light just to provide a tiny little bit of light in the photo, and just make sure that we had some catch lights. So that's all. It's the softbox is camera right, and again, just I think this is photos taken at about 1/500th of a second, and it's just again just putting in just a tiny bit of light for the catch lights. Everything else, like I took the same photo, the background is exactly the same whether or not that softbox fires.
Okay, right. So your softbox doesn't light up the entire park.
No, and nothing really, even on the wood or anything. It doesn't change anything. Just it's high enough, and it's got just enough light just to get the catch lights.
Do you have a CTO on it?
I do. I think I had a quarter CTO on it.
Right. That was my guess. If you said no, I would have probably just deleted this from the show because I would have, you know. But I assumed you did.
Yeah.
Just judging by the color, her against the sky.
Yep.
No, it looks good. I like the offbeat. I like everything about this. Even the fact that you have the leaf in her hair is what makes this the autumn picture. So it does save you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. I mean, in terms of not of quality of picture, in terms of fitting into this category.
Right. Yeah.
And the other picture of her is more classic fall picture.
Yes.
Which I'll post. We don't have to discuss, but we'll post that one anyway.
Yeah.
I like it. I like what she's wearing. I like the colors. We talked last week about you know what colors should people wear. This is the kind of like her sweater and her jacket combo. Great.
Yeah, and I didn't pick that, but we talked about that, and I didn't even mention it to the parents, but they dressed perfectly in color coordinated fall colors. So there were some reds, there were some browns, there were some beiges and greens, and so they did exactly what I would have asked them to do, but I left it up to the photography gods.
All right.
Well, I don't know. Go. I didn't want to boss them. That's the bottom line.
Right. Yeah. Right. Good. Love
so
it.
So there it is. Okay.
All right. So I look at mine. It's the first one. I too submitted multiple images here. But I knew I was gonna use the first one.
Okay, so this is Alan A.
Alan A.
Okay, this is very very fall like.
This is very fall-like.
Yeah. When I saw yours, I'm like, okay, well, yours is much more fall than my one leaf in my subject's hair.
Right. But you can just say artistic choice and then back away.
That's right, yeah.
That's
artistic choice, yeah.
Yeah, anybody can shoot in the fall.
Yeah, this is easy. I could have done this easily.
Yeah, well, this is the one with the 5D Classic, first of all.
Okay, and a ProMist filter.
ProMist filter, 50mm lens, f1.4. Shot at f8 because I wanted to get some depth of field, but not everything.
Okay, now is this a spot that you frequent?
I do like this spot in certain times of the year. This is a little island in the Neckar River right next to the old town. So I highly recommend if you come to Tubingen to... there's no fisherman monument, like a needle or anything like that, but still nice.
Okay.
No, this is a... It's called the Plantanen Allee, like the alley of the trees, of these trees. And yeah, I recommend walking down here. And right across from this, you can see the beginning of the old town, the very famous area of Tubingen.
At what point do they clean this path up?
I know they do. It's a gravelly path, so I don't know what they do.
Because there are a lot of leaves there.
Yeah, there are. It's funny because I shot this and then I wanted to get another option, so I went to the park. There's like a park in town, but they actually clean that up very frequently, so there was no leaves. So I had no luck. So this was the area that I wanted to go.
Okay.
To get this. And so what I did was I just sat and waited. I knew that I wanted to have these people who I didn't know. I still haven't talked to these people. This was just, I just grabbed this when they weren't looking. Or evidently she was looking, but, you know, nothing came of it. Point is, this was just a stolen shot. But I sat and waited until somebody hit that spot of light
mm-hmm.
that was coming through, because I knew I wanted to have some sort of separation. Like if you see on his shoulder, we kind of got that rim light of the sunlight coming through the trees.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, it's very crowded down here. So it was difficult to get a shot of just two people. In fact, I didn't. So if we look at picture C.
Okay.
You'll see that's the actual shot.
Oh, and then you had to subtract people.
I had to subtract 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people at least. 10 people from this shot.
Okay, so let us know how you did that, because we're dying to know.
Photoshop.
And you didn't use one of these fancy apps that just does it all for you?
No, I didn't. I didn't have my tripod with me. What I would have done, likely, is shoot it on a tripod and wait till everybody kind of moves and then snap the photo again and then just quickly paint in the blank areas.
Right.
But A, I didn't have my tripod. B, those people on the left who were sitting on the bench, they were not moving. I think they were living there, so... that was that. So there's no way that was going to happen. So I knew I had to Photoshop that. And so ultimately, that's what I got. It was
So how much time did it take you to kind of get rid of all the people in the background?
Not that much, actually. Because of it, these kind of patterns are nice, because if you look at the my final image, I guess if you look hard, you could probably see that it was Photoshopped. If you knew it was Photoshopped, you could probably go in and look. You're probably not going to guess that right out of the gate. The reason being that in order to paint in these over these people, you have such a wide variety, like a scattered pattern that you can choose from.
Right.
Like all the leaves on the ground, like you're not going to notice if I copy and paste parts of that over, or clone it over is what I end up doing.
Right.
And so because of that, and, you know, if you choose from different areas, and the challenge becomes getting the right depth of field throughout the image.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to be able to have something to clone from. And now that I look at it, if you look just to next to her left ear, it looks, that's the one spot I would look that looks cloned to me. There's the similar light pattern twice.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you can see that.
I can see it just, I only once you said that.
Yeah. I in fact, I even looked for that before, didn't see it. Now I see it. So there you go. I'll leave that in just to show my error. It's like, I'm like some sort of North Korean missile test that they're Photoshopping that in. Okay.
Great.
So that's it. But I did want to go take a more simple image. And so I went out and shot a different day, same area, roughly the same area on the island. And I was walking around with my 5D Mark II, but I had no filter today, that day. Even though I shoot with the Pro Mist all the time, I had put a polarizer on.
Okay.
Thinking that's going to be great. But unfortunately, the sun was just going down, so I missed the polarizing opportunity. Polarizer was doing nothing, so I just took it off and shot bear. And saw another photographer walking along taking photos. And so I just say, hey, you know, hello, can I take your picture? And this is Alex, who was taking photos on that day. And he's actually, he's a photo blogger. So I'm sure he'll send his blog along. And if anyone cares, we'll see if we can put it on the website.
Okay.
So this is an example. The only reason I include it is because he was very nice. And I actually like this image just fine, but not as much as I like the one I chose. But if you compare the two, I like the image from the 5D Classic better. It's just not as sharp, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one because they're so different in so many different ways that you can't make a direct comparison. Like if you had the exact same photo composition and everything, depth of field and taken with the other, then maybe it'd be comparable. But you can't even compare these two images because they are so different. And so some people who prefer the shallow depth of field immediately will look at the one of the photographer and just say, yeah, I like that better. Right.
True.
So I see what you're saying. I do like the image and the depth of field that you've achieved in the other photo, but I still have a hard time comparing those two.
So you're telling me you want me to shoot an example of that? Okay,
yeah,
we'll do.
Again, just to be able to make an honest comparison, because I really do like the picture of the photographer, but I see what you're saying as far as like just how sharp, and I'm just so used to that. The 6D, everything is super sharp, and again, it's another 20 megapixel camera, and you know, it's got the best sensor at the time that they were putting in cameras, until I'm sure now there's, you know, 10 better, but you know, everything just comes out looking sharp and the colors look great, and you know, so when I see anything different, I don't know, my eyes always drawn to the crisp and the color, and so I look at the two and I probably hedge the other way in terms of what I prefer, but that's also because that's what I'm used to.
Interesting. That is interesting because that kind of goes to the whole HD thing. Like HD movies oftentimes for me are too sharp at home.
Yeah.
And there's a certain, not I wouldn't say blur, or not even a softness, but like a certain grit to it that to film or to, well, or to certain HD movies that I like, and it's not present in all of them, but maybe it's one of those things where, hey, 95% of people, that's all they know, and thus they like it. So that's how it is now.
Yeah, and I'm a big HD snob, in that if I go anywhere and there's a TV up on the wall and it's not HD, like I, you know, have to turn my nose up and I have to, and I that's unwatchable. That's just completely unwatchable to me.
Do you hear me, Earls?
yeah. It's not, it's just that to me, I am the HD police when it comes to that sort of thing.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. So I understand. I think you appreciate it for different reasons. And I think maybe that is some of the film background. But I am a big lover of all things crisp and sharp.
And a big lover of being wrong. So good for you. Good for you.
But your photo, I like. You know what? I had one question about your photo, the actual photo you chose for the challenge. Uh-huh. Of course, this is artistic choice, but I don't know why you cropped where you did, because that inclusion of that one overhead light... Like the other lights that go down the path, they completely kind of, I don't know, fade into the trees and they're really not that noticeable. But that one that is right overhead at the top and the center of the photo, I find it distracting. And so I'm just curious as to, you know, why you decided to crop it where you did.
I wanted a square crop. And in terms of the sides and the bottom, that's where it fit perfectly. And then the top was just sort of irrelevant.
Right.
And I also agree with that. That light, and to the point that I actually went in to Photoshop it out, and I tried to do that, but then I had to deal with the cable going nowhere,
right?
And so I decided, okay, where am I going to cut that off, and then I couldn't find a good spot to cut it off and have it blend in. And so ultimately, I just left it in. And you're right, I didn't like that. I don't like that either.
Okay.
But it was one of those things where I just thought, well, that's it.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. I'm not going to frame this one, so I'll just phone that part in.
Okay.
That's where we're going to land on that. No, I completely agree. Probably would have been a lot simpler to just crop it and not worry about the completely square crop. But for some reason, I had that in my mind. I wanted it 100% square.
Okay.
So there you go. Probably the wrong choice.
Okay. No, I was just curious because I know that had that in my photo, you would have, you know, jumped all over me probably three times. So I just wanted
at
to,
least.
Yeah, I knew you had consciously been aware of it. I just was wondering why the crop. So.
And plus, we get to end that part on a downer. Okay. This week's topic has it came up from something like it's over a year ago now, if you believe that.
Okay. All right.
When I forget what the challenge was, something to do with shooting a photo of our wife or something like that, or shoot a bad photo, make it better, maybe?
I don't think so.
No? I think it was around episode 91.
Try again.
It was around episode 91.
All right.
And so someone Google that for us. But the idea, and so I said, hey, well, you know, perhaps we could, you know, I think it's a good picture you'd taken of your wife, but, you know, here's some ways you can make it better. And we never got around to actually doing that episode.
Okay.
So one of the ways I like to jazz up a photo is very simple. It's just, it's a compositional element, is to use a corner. That's it. Drive safe.
All right. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Yeah. No, it's to use a corner of a room, corner of a building, whatever it is, you know, oftentimes you go to set up your image and you get your background dialed in, and you've picked some sort of a flat wall.
Okay.
You know, maybe you're going to throw a cookie across it, or, you know, whatever you're going to do, you're going to rake it with a light, you're going to break it up, but it's oftentimes a flat wall. And maybe you even shift a little bit so that there's some perspective. So it's not 100% flat. So maybe it goes off in the distance, but it's not often that you think, hey, I'm going to go shoot in the corner.
That's true. I was always under the impression that being put in the corner was a bad thing.
Right. But let's be bad.
Okay.
So that's how we're going to do it. So, first of all, it's a great way to add depth to your image. And like via perspective, like it really, you know, it's great ways to sort of have your image go off in the distance.
Okay.
And create that 3D feel to it. That's one little element that you can do. Now there's many ways to use this, the corner. So let's talk about an inside corner. So you're inside the house and you're just going to use the inside corner of a room.
Okay.
Now this is great. Like I did it quite a few episodes ago now, where I just used a corner with white walls, threw one light up and put my subject back in there and one soft light. And that was it. That was my entire lighting setup, and just banged off a headshot. And it was very nicely, evenly lit. Do you remember that one?
No.
Okay, we had Amber on the show, and you ripped a shot, she liked it, and then you changed your mind and made me edit it back in that you were awesome or something like that. But in this case, if we back the subject into the corner, and not right in, like they shouldn't be touching the wall, but get them in pretty close, have a nice soft light, maybe an umbrella or a softbox or whatever it is. Umbrella works the best because light just goes everywhere.
Okay.
And now what ends up happening is the light just basically bangs around all the corners and lights up your subject all over. You get a nice even light in a very simple way.
Okay.
So that's one. That's one way to do it. Now, the other one was the image I included. Now, maybe you want to have a look at this. It's in your... You should have access to it. Under the bonus challenge there.
Okay. I'm in there. Yeah, which was number one, bonus challenge?
91, okay. Episode 91 or something.
Got it.
Like
I got it. I'm looking at a picture of your wife.
Picture of my wife. Now, this is just a simple use of a corner in the background there. So just behind her right ear is the corner of the wall.
Okay.
And so this is a method I love to do. And so I'm going to pass it on to you fine folks. There's no daylight here. This is 100% lit. And so what I've done was, this is a Nikon SB28 zoomed all the way to 85 mil with a homemade snoot on it. That's cardboard taped together. And that is just, that's just to the camera right and raked across the wall.
Okay.
Okay. So as it gets goes across the wall, now it's going to hit the wall that butts up to it. The one on a 90 that's mm-hmm. behind her right ear. That's the corner. And so it's going to create a kind of a nice sort of edge there and light up. You see how the light drops off along the wall and then gets brighter again as it hits the wall?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm going for. And by using the snoot, I'm able to aim it down and sort of create that gradient above her.
Right.
And so that's one way to... And now she's quite a ways out from that corner, though. This is not a situation where we've put her in the corner. We've pulled her pretty far away because I don't want the light from the corner hitting her. Now, that light comes from a softbox. Let me rephrase that. An umbrella.
Okay.
It comes from an umbrella. So I have two flashes going here, both camera right. But this is an example of when to use the corner.
I'm still with you.
Okay, you're still with me. Any questions?
So how much space is there behind her in the back wall?
For her to the back wall? Oh, what do you
want? Just ballpark.
In kilometers, 0.0000.
How about, like, is there like 5 feet? Is there 10 feet?
I'm going to say eight to 10 feet.
Okay.
Probably 8 feet. It's hard for me to remember. This was taken over a year ago, but I'm going to guess it was about eight feet.
Okay, and then how far do you figure her right shoulder is from the wall?
Ah, good question. It's fairly close because you can see a little bit of bounce coming off and hitting her on the shoulder. So we're getting a little tiny bit of bounce from the softbox is coming back off that wall and lighting up her right arm.
So like a foot? Like she's a foot from the
yeah,
wall?
Yeah, I'd say that. I'd say, yeah, about a foot.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the setup. So now this is something you can play with, though. You can move it all around. But all I'm saying is try raking the light across the wall and having it hit the corner. Because depending on the colors of the walls, like if you have... Now, this is with white walls. It creates one sort of look. Because, you know, obviously it gives off more light and bounces it around some more. But I've done this with darker walls, too, like the walls you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yours are, I'm going to say brown. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, it's depending. There's some of them are like a light beige, which I think shows up in every house in North America now. Mm. Or like we have some that are darker brown.
So you're going to get you'll get great results from that. And now what you can do is with the light that you're using to rake across the background, just by adjusting it, like by swiveling it, you can adjust how much hits that second wall. And so maybe you want a lot hitting it, so that would end up being like a spotlight on that wall and then a slight gradient across the back wall. Or you can have it mostly on the back wall and just have a tiny bit hitting the far wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can kind of adjust in there, and now you have a great way to change up the background very quickly.
Okay.
So that's one way.
So is any of that fill from the bounce, like on her face, like is or no? That all that no. light on her face is completely from the umbrella.
Completely from the umbrella.
Okay.
In fact, I'm remembering this, it's not even a snoot that's on the back wall. It's a half snoot. I made some half snoots at one point, which I used like sort of like a L-shaped kind of thing, which okay. I will post. I'll post that the setup image of that photo as well. A lot of images to post this week.
Great.
So that's one way. Now, the other way to do it is even simpler. You can use an exterior corner. Just go on outside and find yourself the corner of a building or... and this is also one of my favorite techniques. You know, it's a great way to break up the background. You can decide, do you want the corner to be in the middle of the picture, left side, right side, you know, rule of thirds, that kind of thing. Have your subject stand on one. You get different kinds of lighting because oftentimes one side of the building will be lit, the other one will be in shade, so now you get a decent contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't want that. You can find a day when it's cloudy and just... There's a lot of options here of posing your image.
Tell us about other kinds of weather.
Well, we have sun. We have sun. Rain. You know when it rains?
Yeah.
And you know fog, so I think that covers it.
Okay.
But the idea here is what I like about it is, again, it creates perspective quite easily, and it just gives you a lot of different options. You can have your subject pose against the wall, out in front of the wall, either side of the wall, that kind of thing. That's what I like is having those options.
Okay.
Now, the last tip for that is if you change your camera angle, now all of a sudden you watch the perspective change an awful lot. Like, you get down low and shoot upwards, and now you watch, you know, the wall shooting off in either direction sort of change that angle substantially. And so that's something fun. That, or try Dutch angles where you tilt the camera right or left to just kind of give it an off-kilter look.
But make sure people are wearing wooden shoes.
And eating pancakes. Hands down. So any questions on the corner?
No.
Okay. It is fairly straightforward. It's just something to think about and to go and practice on your own. So next week's challenge, the moon.
I was going to say pancakes.
No, I'm just kidding. It's corners.
Corners. All right.
Shoot with the corner. You're going to shoot a portrait of somebody with using the corner as a design element.
Yeah, you know what's funny about, it's not funny, but in a hockey rink, you know, say that guy doesn't like to go in the corners, or so-and-so is great in the corners. The rink doesn't have any actual corners.
No.
It's no, just it something not. I was thinking about.
Right. You're right, that wasn't funny.
But I couldn't shoot in the corner of a hockey rink because technically that wouldn't be a corner, right?
You can do whatever you like. You did this week. So, yeah, I didn't do a corner. So, just here's a picture of my foot I took while we were recording the episode.
Right.
There's that. And if you're going to buy a new corner and you buy it on Amazon, buy it through our site.
Great.
See the segue there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
That's why they call me Captain Segway. Adam, where can people find examples of your photos?
Sometimes on schwartzchronicles.com. And I sent my wife a subtle message tonight by just uploading a whole bunch of photos that I think would make great blog posts, and said, hey, how about you blog about these? So there's my subtle hint. So maybe there'll be an upcoming something Halloweenish. Halloween's coming up this week. So hopefully she'll do a Halloween post or something along those lines. Schwartzchronicles.com and on Facebook, Two Hosers Facebook site. I try to at least once a week, I try to put some photos up. Sometimes 2 days in a row, and sometimes not for a week plus.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. You always got to check back.
Yeah, that's how I like to keep people guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep checking back. Hey, remember when I was going to start a blog and I just kept saying I would put stuff up and I never did? Now at least I put stuff up regularly.
Right.
So...
absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to just accept that I'm trying.
Are we still talking about this?
Yeah. No, I'm really trying.
Okay.
Okay. And where about you? What about your stuff?
You can find my stuff at alanattridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find links to everything you want to know about what we just talked about. So that's it. Adam.
Yeah.
And everybody else, get out there and make better photos.